It is well with my soul. It is well with your soul. For God loves us. God is for us. God is in us. And with God, we can do all things. Amen? So this is part two of a series called Faith as a Rocket. Jesus said, if you had faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this sycamore tree, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and it shall be removed yonder. But that's faith as a mustard seed. What if you had faith as a rocket? That faith would blast you up, just as a rocket takes people from the earth up into space. I know that they're now planning a mission to Mars, and they're actually accepting applicants to go to Mars. It's a one-way trip, which to you and me may sound really funny, but a lot of people stand up for it, okay? They want to go to Mars. Well, that's because they don't know that they can use faith as a rocket ship and blast up into a life. Blast up into a life that's an Ephesians 3:20 life. A life that's better than they have ever imagined it. That they can use faith as a rocket ship and move up into a spiritual life, move up into a Zoe life, living the life of God here on earth. That you and I have, can, and will continue to use faith as a rocket ship to move from this mundane life we live in into living heaven on earth. Amen? God wants us to live as heaven on earth. And the vehicle for us moving from this life we see around us and the circumstances around us to move up to that plane where we live the life of God, where we live by the spiritual laws of the kingdom of God, where we live in heaven on earth, is to take that space vehicle called faith as a rocket ship. So that's sort of a summary of what we covered last time. How to bring the wonderful promises of God into our lives. By wanting it, by desiring it, by putting your foot on the pedal of faith and pushing it all the way down to the floorboards, all the way down to the metal. Putting the pedal to the metal. That's was part one of faith as a rocket ship. Today we're going to cover part two. Part two of faith as a rocket is called fueling the rocket. No matter how powerful and wonderful a rocket is, it ain't going to go nowhere unless it's got fuel in there. And so we need to put fuel in the rocket ship. And what do you think that fuel is? Well, the fuel is that which makes the rocket ship work. So what makes the rocket ship of faith work? Faith works by love. Okay? Love is the rocket fuel. And as you pump love into your rocket, not only does it provide the fuel, not only as you put love into your rocket ship, not only as you fire up your faith with love, not only does the power come, but the love cleanses you and cleanses your rocket ship. It streams down your faith and it cleans all the hindrances out of you. Amen? So the love cleans you and cleans your rocket and then powers your rocket. That's what we're going to talk about today. Love as the rocket fuel. So faith is a spacecraft which takes you on the trip, going from wherever you are to wherever you want to go. For we walk not by sight, but we walk by faith. And we move from point A to point B, regardless of the circumstances, the challenges, the mountains. We go from A to B in our rocket ship. And in our rocket ship of faith, nothing of the enemy can by any means hurt us. It moves us one location to another because it protects us and it moves us from where we are to where we want to go. So faith is a spacecraft which takes you on the trip, but love is the fuel which powers it. For faith in God works by love. 1 John 4:8 says, he that loves not knows not God. Well, faith is faith in God. It's your faith in God. It's your believing God and His promise. It's your trusting God and His promise that is the faith that moves you through your life. But the scripture is saying, if you're not walking in love, you don't know God. So how can you have faith in a God you don't know? So it's saying the more you walk in love is the more you love God. Jesus says all the prophets and the law are based on two commandments. Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. Everything is founded in that. So if you're not walking in that love, if you're moving away from that love, you're moving away from the gospel. If you're moving away from the gospel, you're moving away from faith as a vehicle that powers you upwards. So he that loves not knows not God. For God is love. So God is love. We know our faith in God, our trust in God, our belief in God, our acting on the promises of God. When we do that, we know that God's power, directly or indirectly, is going to bring the manifestation of that for which we are praying, for that for which we're standing in faith. What's going to make God's promise come true is God. But God is love. So the closer you get to God is the closer you get to love and vice versa. So love is the power that's going to make your faith work. Look at 1 John 4 verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Love is of God because God is love. And everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. Now, because we're all born again, God is in us, love is in us. And I guarantee you, every believer is walking in more love now than before they got saved. Before we got saved, our life was kind of self-centered. We were focused on ourselves. But now we are new creatures. And God wants us to realize that we are new creatures and we're moving away from the self-centeredness that we used to have, moving more towards loving others. The love in us, God in us, is coming out as we love people more and more. So as we become believers, we become more obedient to the Word of God. We become more loving. We start to esteem others greater than ourselves. We start to put their needs before us. And less we're focused on ourselves, and more we're focused on others. And a good test is how far along you are is, let's take yesterday. How much time yesterday did you spend praying for somebody else? Helping somebody else? Even thinking about somebody else. I wonder what they need. See, that's love. Love is the process of putting others first. Galatians 5:6. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision avails anything, nor uncircumcision. In Christ Jesus, it's not what you do to your flesh that really avails much. It's not the circumcision. It's not trying to be obedient to the law. But what works is faith, which works by love. Your faith, which works by love, that's what avails much. That's what changes the situation. That's what takes you in that rocket ship from where you are to where you want to go. So faith in God works by love, because you must love God. You must walk in love because God is love. And God's love is what makes your faith work. Now, love is obedience to God. Love is not a warm, gushy feeling. Okay? That's like an emotional, fleshly love. Love is not a warm, gushy feeling. We've all, I'm sure, fallen in love in our lives. And when you fell in love with a person, there was a warm, gushy feeling. But preceding the warm, gushy feeling was the decision that this person is meaningful to me. I care about them. I want to put their needs and their circumstances above mine. I want to be around them. I want to be in their presence. Those are all decisions. And those are the decisions that move you into that love walk. Love walk, the agape love of giving. Agape love is giving, putting others first. And it's a decision. So that love is a decision. And the first decision, that love, should be obedience to God's commandments. When we are obedient to His commandments, we're putting God's first. We're putting God's words first. We're doing things His way. Why? Because we love Him. It's a decision. Now, with that decision may come some warm, fuzzy feelings. But the main thing is the decision that we put God first. John 14, verse 15. In John 14, verse 15, Jesus put it this way. If you love me, keep my commandments. All the law is fulfilled in one word. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Galatians 5, 14. So many people are so concerned about dietary restrictions, what the Bible says about diet, what the Bible says about different circumstances and so forth. And questions like, how can we memorize all this stuff? Well, you see, you really don't. Galatians 5:14 says, all the law is fulfilled in one word, which is actually more like a sentence. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as yourself. See, you can't love your neighbor as yourself unless you love God. And in loving your neighbor as yourself, it means you love yourself. So in that one sentence, it implies, A, you love God, because that's where the love is coming from. Two, you love yourself, and then you love your neighbor. So all the law is in that. That's why that's the love that fuels your rocket. Romans 13 verse 10 says, love works no ill, no negative, no harm to his neighbor. Therefore, love is fulfilling the law. Instead of being concerned about fulfilling the law and all the do's and the don'ts, just walk in love. And the Spirit of God will lead you to be in the right place at the right time. Your faith will take you through all the challenges of life. So love is keeping the commandments. And it's keeping the commandments which brings the blessings into your life. So the blessings belong to you. It's part of your salvation package. Jesus paid the price for all the blessings to belong to you. They belong to you. But you and I know many people who are not walking in the blessings of God. Why are they not walking in the blessings of God? The blessings of God belong to them. They are not walking in the blessings of God because they're not obeying God's commandments. Why are you and I not walking in more of the blessings of God? Because we're not obeying the commandments of God. If we obey the commandments of God, then the blessings that belong to you will start manifesting more and more. It's true of me, it's true of you, it's true of everybody. It's true of unbelievers and believers. Except, of course, to the unbelievers, the blessings don't belong to them. But as they move towards God, they come to the point where they belong to them. They've been paid for, but they don't yet belong to them. They have to receive them. John 14, 21. He that has my commandments and keep them, Jesus speaking, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and we will manifest ourselves to him. So he's saying, if you have my commandments and keep them, then you love me. And we will know it. How does God know you love him? Because you keep his commandments. Now I tell you, I worked on this last night, and I finished, I said, Sarah, I really like this. This has really helped me. See, a few years before I got saved, I had been driving in this wonderful, beautiful neighborhood. I'd just come back from being out of the country. And before I got home, I'm passing through this wonderful area, ocean, rolling hills, and I stopped to admire it. Hadn't seen it in quite a while. And it was so beautiful that I said, God, if you exist and you created all this, and you prove yourself to me, you show yourself to me, I'll do anything you say. So a few years later, I got saved in a miraculous manner. And God's glory flooded me. And as his glory is flooding me, and I know that God was proving himself to me, I saw a replay of myself sitting in that car, like a videotape taken from heaven, from the top right back of the car. I saw the car. I saw me in the car. And I could see through the roof. I could see the car on the outside. I could see me inside. I could see everything. And I could hear myself saying, God, if you made all this, and you're real, and you prove yourself to me, I'll do anything you say. And when I had stopped crying, I suppose in my heart, even before I stopped crying, I said, Lord, I will do my best to do everything you say. I will do everything you say. And since then, I have been trying to do that. Now, about 6-9 months, a year later, I was already walking in so many miracles, signs, and wonders, that even though I was in a very strong, faith-filled church with many giants of the faith, I thought they were giants of the faith then, and many of them today, I still think so, I realized something. One is, they were not walking in the miracles, signs, and wonders that I was. Number one. Two is, they were asking me to go pray for people and do things that they weren't doing. And three is, I realized that I had to stop telling people the miracles that were happening in my life because I could see many of them were not believing it. And the ones who were believing it thought I was bragging. So within a year, year and a half, I stopped telling most people about the miracles that were happening in my life. But I couldn't understand it. Here I was, I knew nothing. I mean, I was an atheist, and now I'm an atheist minus an atheist 1 year. Okay. So I knew nothing. These people believed us for decades. Great people of faith. I'm thinking, How is it possible? All these miracles are happening in my life and not in theirs. I wasn't asking this in pride. I was asking this because I was totally dumbfounded. And so I asked God. And he spoke to me. And he said, because faith works by love. And I said, it does. He says, yes. And so I said, okay, give me a scripture. I learned, you know, Holy Spirit speaks to you, and you ask him for a scripture, he'll give it to you. So he gave me a scripture. So I looked it up, and sure enough, faith works by love. So I said, well, it has to be in the Bible at least two places. So I went and dug and found up a second one. Faith works by love. So I knew I had the answer. But I didn't understand it. Because I did not feel that I was walking in love. I didn't feel any warm, gushy feeling. You know, but I felt an excitement. I mean, it's wonderful. I used to walk around like Paladin. You know who Paladin is? Somebody who old enough, if you're more than 20, you might know. Paladin had a business card. It was a Western show, right? And it says, have a gun, will travel. Okay? I thought I'd pick up a card. Have hands, will travel. Because, boy, I just wanted to walk in a room and says, anybody sick here? Let me lay hands on you. I had that excitement. But I didn't see that as love. I didn't have any warm, gushy feeling. I didn't even have a warm, gushy feeling about God. I felt grateful. And I felt excited by the miracles. So I didn't understand why that was true. I knew God was telling me, this is happening because you're walking in love. But I had no comprehension how I was walking in love. So I attended some teachings on love. Still didn't know. Still didn't know very well until last night. No, I knew a lot more. But last night, things fell into place in my heart and in my soul. Okay? And I'm hoping it will fall in place in your heart and your soul. Okay? So, why was I walking in love? Because if you have my commandment and keep them, you love me. I said to God, I'll do whatever you say. That is the expression of love. That's what Jesus said. I'll do anything you say, Father. And then he went and did it. No, if you're going to do anything that God says, it means you're giving up a life for God. Right? Because if you're saying, I'm going to do anything God says, that means you can't do anything that you want. You do what God wants. And for Jesus, it took him to the point where he was offered up on the cross for us. See, love is not running around doing good. There's a difference between good things and God things. Love is doing God things. What's a God thing? A God thing is something that God wants you to do, which is good. A God thing is something that God wants you to do at the point in time when God wants you to do it. If God doesn't want you to do it, it may be a good thing, but it ain't a God thing. In these ending days, much of the body of Christ, many of the believers are moving into this depth of this apostasy, where they're departing from the gospel. The majority, as far as I know and can see and read, are not departing from the gospel to do bad things. They're departing from the gospel to do good things. It's a major denomination, actually more than one, that decided they were going to boycott any American company that invests in Israel. Did they have a good reason? Yeah, they're trying to end discrimination as they see it. And they're trying to produce more peace and love by coercing Israel to come to peace with the Palestinians. Is that a God thing? Not in the least bit. They miss some of the scriptures in the Bible that says, you'll be blessed who prays for the peace of Jerusalem, for example. They miss the whole part of Genesis that says all this land belongs to God's people. So, when we love the Lord, the devil in general would not try to get us off the spaceship, off the rocket ship, by saying, why don't you get off this rocket ship of faith and go commit some sins over here? Generally, that's not what he does. What he says is, why don't you get off the rocket ship and go do these good things over here? Here's a whole bunch of good things. And if you're reluctant to get off, he will swamp you with so many good things to do that you won't have time to be sitting on the rocket ship of faith. You'll move away from faith into works and social gospels. So Jesus says, he that has my commandment and keeps them, he it is that loves me. John 14:21. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Wow. Here's a place where your faith can take you, to a place where Jesus manifests himself to you. See, I know ABC is doing some things right because I can see how biblical the things we're doing are. I can hear the feedback coming from people. But one of the most wonderful ways I know that is that the Lord Jesus keeps showing up here and used to be at our miracle service. The fact that he's coming means that he's manifesting himself to us. Meaning we are, as a church in general, we are trying to keep his commandments. And he's manifesting himself to us. 1 John 5:3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. So this is the love of God. You want to walk in love? Keep his commandments. See, when I got saved and for the first, I don't know how long, 20 years, maybe, 25 years, to me, salvation meant going to heaven. I was saved, my sins have been forgiven, and now all I have to do now is hang around until it's time to go to heaven. That's what people taught, that's what I heard them say, that's the way they talk, that's the way they believed. So I believe that's all there was to it. Salvation is sins are forgiven, you got your ticket booked for heaven, you just wait until the devil kills you so you can go to heaven. And after a while, I realized, you know, there's an illogic to that. If I'm a child of God, what am I waiting for the devil to kill me to go to heaven? I said, what things do I desire when I pray, I believe I receive them and I shall have them, right? So I said, Lord, I'm ready to go. I'm asking you to take my spirit out of my body and take me to heaven. I said, I've done everything you asked me. I'm ready to come home. And he started to laugh. This is a long time ago, right? He started to laugh. He said, I think I have a few more things for you to do. I said, okay. So he gave me a list of things to do. And I did them for another, I don't know how long it was. I guess towards the end of the 20 or 25 years, what it is. And then I said, okay, I've done everything he's asked me. And this time, I'm not going to ask him to beat me up, Scotty. Because I learned, right? At that time, we had 12 ABC meetings from San Diego to Lompoc, which is north of Santa Barbara. And so I went up to my ABC host in Santa Barbara. This guy's really cool. Was on a plane, and I'm not exactly sure what was happening, but he felt a need. Maybe there's some challenge on the plane. He felt a need for a safe landing, so he had to pray. And he prayed and established the kingdom of God around the plane. And the plane just came in and landed, no problem at all. Okay, cool. Anyway, I went up there, and I said, I came to tell you goodbye. I'm going to heaven. I drive all the way up there, you know. And I sit down, and we have a cup of coffee. And he doesn't talk much. So, and I don't talk that much anyway. So we went right into it. So he looked at me, drank his coffee, didn't say a word. Put on his cup and says, I'm going to bed. And he goes to bed. Not one comment. I said, I know this man doesn't talk much, which is typically godly. But this is absurd. So next morning he gets up before me. I get out there and he's out there with his Bible, having coffee. I sit down and he says, I want to tell you that you're very selfish. That was his good morning. You're very selfish. I said, what do you mean I'm very selfish? He says, God has taught you all the stuff, which by the way included him coming back from the dead. Okay? What I taught him allowed him to come back from the dead. He said, God has taught you all the stuff and you're going to leave us here and go to heaven. He said, that's very selfish. So I thought about it. I drove back to L.A., prayed about it all the way. When I got back to L.A., I picked up the phone and called him and said, Bill, you're right. I'm not going to go. I spoke to the Lord, and the Lord has a few more things he wants me to do. And the Lord said, you're going to be here for the duration. So why am I here? I'm here keeping his commandments and doing what he says to do. Why are you all here? For the same reason. That's why you're here. Because it's your keeping the commandment that is your walking in love. It is your walking in love that's going to power the faith, that's going to take you like a rocket from where you are to where you want to go. It's as simple as that. To understand. To do it isn't so simple. Because the devil doesn't want you to do that. The devil doesn't want you to keep the commandments. He doesn't want you to be obedient to God. He wants you to sit back and say, well, Jesus purchased all these things for me, let me enjoy them. Yeah, enjoy them in moderation and ask him first. Because while you're sitting there enjoying your third piece of cake, somebody may be going to hell that God wants you to go into the street and minister the gospel of Jesus Christ to the person. Right? So if we keep the commandments, we are in fact chasing God. You know, make no mistake. Let me say this again. Blessings are nice. We all would like to walk in blessings. But as a Christian, all the blessings belong to you. But the blessings don't come to you as a Christian because you're chasing them. The blessings come to you through your faith. And your faith is powered by love. And your love is demonstrated when you're chasing God. So if you chase God, the blessings will chase you. You keep being focused on the blessing. You keep focused on, here's my day, how do I get what I need today? You will never walk in the blessings of God to any great extent. Yes, you get a miracle here and a miracle there and so forth, but you never walk on an ongoing victorious basis in the blessings of God. When you get up in the morning, your question should be, Lord, what do you want me to do today? Not, Lord, what am I going to do to accomplish these goals that I need in my life? So, we are to chase God. We are to chase God because God is love. We're to chase love because our rocket ship is powered by love. If we're not chasing God, we're not putting fuel in the rocket ship. If there's no fuel in your rocket ship is not going to go anywhere. We need to chase God. And so Deuteronomy 28 verse 1 makes this very clear. It shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord your God, to observe and do, hear and do, hear and do, and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee in high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God. Notice verse 2. All these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee. The blessing shall chase you down and come on you if you shall hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God. In other words, if you hearken unto the voice of your Lord your God, you are doing his commandments, which means you're walking in love, which means your faith is being powered by love, which means your faith will bring the blessings to you. Trying to bring the blessings to yourself with faith alone, with no love, works for a little bit when we're babies. Because the love we have as babies will power it. But our walk with the Lord must always be a progressive, ongoing intimacy with God. You can't stand in the same level of love with God. You're either backsliding in love or advancing. And it's the advancing in love that gives you more and more power in the spacecraft. If you put 5 gallons of high ethyl into a rocket ship, it might take you, you know, I'm being facetious, it won't take you anywhere because it's not powerful enough, but let's say it takes you 100 feet off the ground. You put 10 gallons, it might take you 20 feet. Let's say you fill up the whole spacecraft with a low-level space fuel, it takes you out into outer space. And you circle the Earth. But if you want to go to Mars, you need to put more fuel in it to go further. As you walk with the Lord, more and more, you need more faith. More and more, you need to accomplish more things. More and more, you need to greater and higher levels. But you can't do it with the same amount of fuel. You got to add more powerful fuel and more of the fuel to go further and further. Which means you got to walk in more love and in deeper love, which means more obedience and deeper obedience. There are a lot of people who think, well, you know, I have faith so I can get all these things manifesting in my life because I'm a great person of faith. And they say, look at all the people I've healed. Look at all the people I've prophesied to. And what did Jesus say? They say, Lord, we have cast out demons in your name. We've healed people and we've prophesied. And they say, depart from me, I knew you not. Because all those things are coming from the gifts of the Spirit. The gift of the Spirit is powered by your faith in the belief that the gospel should be preached to all people and in the power of the Holy Spirit. And that brings a miracle and signs and wonders for others. But for yourself, it's powered by your faith for the blessings for yourself. And that power is love. So you can find many, hundreds, I dare say, of significant men and women of God who walk in tremendous miracles and tremendous ministries. But they don't have the faith to produce that change in themselves, in their bodies, in their life, Because they're not walking in the commandments concerning themselves. They're walking in the commandments concerning ministering to others, but not in the commandments concerning themselves. Such as, study my word. They're probably so busy they haven't got time to study healing, for example. So they're not walking in the commandment of healing. So they're not loving God as Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals them, or as Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides for them. Walk in His commandments. So, as you add the love fuel to your faith rocket, the love cleans you and your rocket. Romans 10:9 says, the word of faith is near you in your heart and your mouth. The word of faith is in your heart and your mouth. You need the word of faith in two places, in your heart and your mouth. Why? Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If there's no faith in your heart, if there's no faith in your heart, there won't be any faith in the words coming out your mouth. Romans 10:10, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's salvation in terms of being born again, but it's salvation in terms of being saved from every challenge of life. So we need to have faith being powered in our heart, and we need to have faith being powered in our mouths. How do we get faith to be powered in our hearts? Ephesians 3:17 says, pray that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that you be rooted and grounded in love. This is a powerful prayer. That Christ be rooted and grounded in love. I pray this prayer repeatedly, many times per day for years, that I be rooted and grounded in love. And I never, to my understanding, saw the fruit of that love in my life. I mean, my life was getting better, but I didn't see myself as a person of love. And when we used to have healing school, remember we had that quiz on fruit of the Spirit, where you get rated on the fruit of the Spirit. And I tell you, for years, I get marked on, my lowest scores would be love and joy. And I looked at it and said, well, you know, I agree with them, but I don't understand it. Because they would rate me this incredible rating on faith. I said, how can you give me an excellent rating on faith, poor in love? There's something wrong with that scenario. You can't have excellent faith if you're poor in love. So I said, I agree with you. I don't see myself as a warm, gushy, loving person. But I don't understand it. Well, the reason is that love is not what you feel. Love is what you decide and do. Love is keeping the commandments of God. See? Love is keeping the commandments of God. So, how does Christ dwell in your heart by faith? Well, surely, by having the Word of God in your heart, that Word of God to which you're obedient, that Word of God which you make part of yourself, that Word of God which is referred to as the engrafted Word. The Word of God is now engrafted into your heart. And there's no difference between your heart with the engrafted word and the heart of God in that area. It is the word of God. It's the same word of God. So we engraft that word into our heart. And we engraft it in our heart. How? By being obedient to it. By doing it. It's being obedient to the word of God that we hear and we're obedient to it. That is what puts the word in our heart. We know that from healing school. It's acting and doing the word that puts it in your heart. But when you're being obedient to the word, you're walking in love, which means love is flooding your heart. So as you're obedient to the word of God, the word becomes engrafted in your heart and your heart becomes more and more full with love. That's why this is a prayer for love. That Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that you be rooted and grounded in the love. As you act on the word of God, it's deposited in your heart. It becomes part of your heart. Your heart is being changed. And God sent Jesus to come that your broken heart would be healed. That your heart would no longer be broken, but fixed, set upon God. So the only thing in your heart, in all of your heart, the only thing would be the word of God engrafted in your heart. And your heart is full of love. It goes together. Your heart can't be full of love if the word of God is not engrafted in them. They go together. Because the faith of the engrafted word is worked by the power of the love. You can't say, okay, this rocket ship needs 100 tons of fuel to go to the moon. And here's a rocket ship right here, and here's the fuel right over here, side by side. Now let's blast off. It won't work. They have to put them together. You got to take the fuel and put it inside the rocket ship. Am I right, Mr. Rocket Launcher? Right? So when you launch it, they go together. Faith and love have to be launched in your heart at the same time. And it only happens when you see the word and you're obedient to the word. As you do that, it's driving the sins and the desires of sin and the strongholds out of your life. It's cleansing you. Your heart is being cleansed. You're being cleansed. Your words are being cleansed. And one of the desires that will promote you and push you towards that point, the love that will do that, is that you know that in you lives Christ. In you is the Holy Spirit. You are a life-giving person. You can lead somebody in the sinner's prayer and give them eternal life. You can lay hands on the sick and get them healed. You can prevent people from dying. You can raise the dead. For that power is in your heart. The power of your faith, the power of your love. That rocket ship and the fuel are in your heart. And you can do all that. And when you understand that, and when you have this love that you want to help people, you will automatically start sinning less. Because you don't want to be in sin when you get a phone call that says, so-and-so is dying. Can you come over and pray for them? You don't want to have alcohol in your breath when you lean over a dying person to pray. Somehow, it doesn't generate a lot of faith. In your heart is the engrafted word. In your heart is the love. The faith and the love combined in your heart. When Christ dwells in your heart, faith and love dwelling in your heart, the engrafted word will set you free. James 1:21. That's what we want. We want to be set free from every financial challenge, from every physical challenge, from every challenge, emotional and spiritual. We want to be set free from the strongholds of the enemy, from the circumstances of life. How do you get set free? When the engrafted word in your heart is spoken through your mouth. Nobody and nothing can set you free except the engrafted word in your heart spoken through your mouth. Can we help you? We can help our brothers and sisters, and we should. We can help them financially as long as we don't make them codependent. Because if you make them codependent, you're not helping them. Making them codependent is like, or worse than, giving money at the supermarket. You're walking into the supermarket. Guy comes up and says, have you got $5 for a cup of coffee? He says, sure. You give him $5. He goes buy a bottle of Jack Daniels. And he has his coffee from the Jack Daniels bottle. You have made his situation worse. Creating codependency is a terrible sin. Being codependent is a terrible sin. And I'm just beginning to understand how terrible sins these are. And I'll be speaking on codependency sometime over the next few months. Every person needs to be set free from codependency. Colossians 2, 9 and 10 says, in Christ Jesus dwells the fullness of the Trinity, the fullness of the Godhead. And we are complete in Him. We don't need anybody or anything. We are complete in Him. See, my wife is standing in faith that she does not need doctors, nurses, hospitals, drugs, or medicines, and she'll be here when Jesus returns. That's between her and God, not me. I'm not her healer. I'm not her provider. I'm simply her spouse. Her healer is Jehovah Rapha. Her provider is Jehovah Jireh. So when we have the word engrafted in our heart, when the rocket ship of faith is there, when the fuel of love is in our heart, when both are in our heart, begins a process of cleansing. Proverbs 16:23. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth. Your heart teaches your mouth. Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. Matthew 12:34. Your heart adds learning to your lips. Because people are snared, caught into a trap by the words of their mouth. Proverbs 6:2. Proverbs 6:2. Therefore, Proverbs 21:23 says, whosoever keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps his soul from troubles. You're having a lot of challenges and troubles in your life? Then your tongue is leading you into it. Now, if it's been there for a long time and you've learned this and started to do it, give God a little time to take you back out of it. You know, when you put a little plant in the backyard and it's come out of the ground for a week or two, you can pull it out with two fingers. But when it's been there for 10, 20 years, you're not going to pull out an ash tree with two fingers. We removed an ash tree from our backyard, and it took a crew of, I forget, 4 or 5 men a day and a half to get everything out of here. So give God a little time to solve the problems in your life. Whosoever keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps his soul from troubles. Proverbs 18, verse 7. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. So as we let the engrafted word in our heart, as we let the faith and the fuel of love move us from where we are to where we want to go, then our soul prospers. 3 John verse 2 says, prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. That's how you move your entire being from point A to point B. Love does more than power the faith. Love removes hindrances from your faith. So the enemy of faith is fear. And love will remove that fear out of your life. My wife has a cockatoo. Big, beautiful white bird. Their longevity is about like 80 to 100 years, okay? How is it going to live over 1,000 years? Okay? Now, they're very gentle birds, and they don't like to fight. And they're very easily startled. And so God has given them a mechanism. When they're startled, their feathers stand up on their head, and their feathers come up all over their body, and they look huge and fearsome. But they don't want to fight. They're very timid birds. They're called love sponges. All they want to do is love. They want to cuddle with you and be with you all the time. They're full of love. They're love sponges. Very timid. Timid is a nice word for fearful. They're very challenged with fear. But they love being around people. But love casts out fear. A number of years ago, in Florida, two men broke into a man's house. And in ensuing struggle, they killed the man. The man had a cockatoo, which is a bird of great love and fear, timid. They caught the two men. Why? Because this bird that is so fearful, one bird, attacked two men. Because the bird loved his master so much, the bird attacked both men, cut them over their faces and their head, there's blood all over. The two men killed the bird. The bird laid down its life for its master. But in so doing, from the DNA of the blood, they caught both murderers. Love will cast out fear. If you love God enough, if you love yourself and your neighbor yourself, you will cast out fear. If a bird can do it, you can do it. What is love? 1 Corinthians 13, from 4 through 8, defines love. From verse 4 and verse 8, put them together. Love endures long and is patient and kind. Are you walking in God's love? Then you're keeping His commandment, which means you must endure long. Faith with patience. Faith with patience, you inherit the promise. What's patience? A facet of faith and love. It's your rocket ship. Love endures long and is patient and kind. Love never fails. Love never fails. Romans 8:15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. We used to be, every single person on earth is in bondage to fear. The Bible says they're in bondage to fear because of the fear of death. But Jesus Christ abolished death, destroyed him who had the power of death, and set us free from fear when we were born again. So because we are born again, Romans 8:15 says, you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. The devil is trying to put back that fear on you, but God says you've been set free from it. Don't take it back. Don't take it back. Treat fear as a mortal enemy, which is what it is. You have received the spirit of adoption, whereby you cry, Abba, Daddy. He's your daddy. When you're a little child growing up, your daddy says, do this, you do it. And after a while, we get kind of stubborn. But when a certain point, we do what our parents tell us until the devil starts tricking us. Well, that's what we should do with God. Do what He says. Perfect love sets you free from fear. Perfect love sets you free from fear. You say, well, yeah, but how do I get perfect love? Well, I'm glad you asked. I'm going to tell you. 1 John 4, verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear has torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love. That's 1 John 4:18. So if you are challenged with fear, then you're not walking in love the way you should. You're not keeping God's commandments the way you should. Your focus and desire is not to keep God's commandments. Your focus and desire is in accomplishing goals or maybe doing good. If your focus and desire is doing what God wants you to do, then you know you'll be where God wants you to be when He wants you to be there, and the challenge of life would bypass you. 1 John 4, verse 12. 1 John 4, verse 12. If we love one another, here's how you cast out fear. If you love one another, God dwells in us. If you love one another, God dwells in us. And His love is perfected in us. And His love is perfected in us. If you love one another, you're walking in love. As you walk in love, love floods your heart. As love floods your heart, God, who is in your spirit, is able to come out of your spirit and flood your entire being. As the Spirit of God, as the anointing of God, comes out of your heart and floods your entire being, every cell, every organ, every system, it drives fear out and drives the enemy out and starts to heal your total body and your life, if you love one another. And you all know how much time you spend loving one another versus how much time you spend loving yourself. Love is doing. Question, how much time do you spend on yourself, on your life, versus how much time do you spend on other people and their life? If you love one another, God dwells in us, and His love is perfected in us. Perfect love casts out fear. Part C, love powers your rockets. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows all the issues of life. That's Proverbs 4, verse 23. You cannot serve God and mammon. Matthew 6, 24. That is put another way in 1 John 2, verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are of the world. If you love the world and the things that are of the world, you're not loving God. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So the more you focus on material things and the things of the world, it's the less of God's love in you, which means it's the weaker your rocket ship of faith is going to be propelled, and it's the shorter distance it's going to go. Love is a very powerful tool, even in secular people. Sometime in the last few months, this man was awarded the Medal of Honor, Congressional Medal of Honor, the highest award given to the military. I don't know much about military protocol, but if I understand, if a Medal of Honor winner comes in the room, you're supposed to stand up and salute him. There's a lot of things you're supposed to do. Just a powerful honor. This man was awarded. He was in harm's way, and they were there, and a grenade landed right in the group of them. He had seconds to respond. His response was he jumped right on the grenade. The grenade exploded under him. Okay? Didn't kill him. Almost did. Took a long time to bring him back. He still has a lot of challenges. That's love in action. He was willing to give up his life for his friends. Jesus is your friend. And He says, I want you to give up your life for me. He says, I don't want you to die. I want you to be alive and remain until I come back. But to be alive and remain until I come back, your rocket ship of faith must bring you from where you are to where I am when I come back. And you can only do that by love. You can only do that by loving your neighbor as yourself, by keeping my commandments. 1 John 5:2, love your neighbor. We know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. See, notice how often He keeps coming back to keeping His commandments. Over and over. Love is a decision and an action to keep God's commandments. And that's why last night this just dropped into my spirit and I suddenly understood it. That love is not warm and fuzzy and gushy. Oh, that's nice, but that's not love. Love is keeping the commandments. Love is keeping the commandments. We know Jesus loves us. How do we know that? Because He kept God's word, which includes dying for us. We love God. We will keep His word, including dying to self and dying to sin, but opening the most important gift, which is to be alive and remain when He returns. To the extent that you walk in love, to that extent you walk in life. To the extent that you walk in life, to the extent you drive death and sickness out of you. And you can replace the love with keeping the commandments. So, we guard our hearts with all diligence and we live in power. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear. We're set free from fear. Every fear that comes is not from God. It's from the enemy. But he has given us a spirit of power. God wants us to walk in a spirit of power. Understand, God wants you to walk in a spirit of power. You can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens you. You have access to the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, you can change anything, do anything. You can call things that be not. Walk in power. You're an adult in the family of God, and you can do anything. But the faith to do that is powered by love. Walk in a spirit of power. And the spirit of power is like a triangle. Here's power at the top, and here's the two sides of the triangle. And the bottom, you have faith and love. Faith and love equals power. Faith times love equals power. Faith times love equals power. You know, I went to UCLA. I have a degree in physics with a specialization in electronics. And I never learned this. I mean, I learned the concept, but I never learned a very simple formula. I used the formula used for all these mathematical formulas, which I don't even recall what it is. And I had trouble remembering it. But the formula for power in the electrical world that they teach in technical schools, not UCLA, they're too advanced for that, it's pi. Am I right? Pi. No, who's going to forget pi? Not pi, pi. Not that kind of pi. You know, this kid, father scrimped and saved and put this kid into a really private school, good first class learning. And the first day he comes home, father's so excited. He said, tell me what you learned in school today. And the kid says, pi r squared. And the father got up and hit him. Dummy, dummy. Everybody knows pi is around, right? Pi is not pi r squared. Pi r squared, of course, the mathematical number pi, okay, is the formula for the area of a circle, right? Pi r squared. But we know pi is round. Well, this pi is P equals I times E. Power equals voltage times current. Power equals voltage times current. Very simple. I is current, E is voltage. Power equals voltage times current. If there's no voltage, there's no power. That's why it's multiplied. No voltage, no power. Anything multiplied by zero is what? Zero. No voltage, no power. No current, no power. Power equals current times voltage. Christian power, the spirit of power, is equal to faith times love. No faith, no power. No love, no power. More love, more faith, more power. You got it? Okay. I just got it. I never got that before. God just taught that to me. So God has given us a spirit of power, a spirit of love. Notice the power and love are always going together. And the faith, okay, and a sound mind. Now, given that, Psalm 19:14 says, let the words of your mouth and the meditation of your heart be pleasing to God. God wants the words of our mouth to be pleasing to him. Why? For death and life are in the power of your tongue. Death and life are in the power of your tongue. Life, if your tongue is using the power of faith and love. Otherwise, it's death. No faith, death. No love, death. That's why the entire world outside the body of Christ is under a death sentence. They have no faith. They don't know what love is, and they will all die. They all expect to die, and they all will die unless they get saved. Understand this? They're all under a death sentence because the wage of sin is death. And if they don't have the faith to understand that Jesus took their sins, they will die, which is not a shock to them because they all expect to die. Am I correct? Okay. As you believe, so you receive. Ephesians 3:19. Let your heart be full of love. Let your heart be full of the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. What happens when your heart is full of love of Christ? Well, that means your heart is also full of faith. It means your heart is full of the engrafted word. What happens when your heart is full of the engrafted word? All the power of God that's in your spirit flows out through the veil of your heart into your body. And so your body becomes filled with all of God. So Ephesians 3:19. Let your heart be full of love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, I would call that power. Whenever cell of your being is filled with the fullness of God, you're walking in power. I would recommend strongly that you all pray Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. A lot of times, maybe twice a day. It's a long prayer. It will take you at least a minute. You think it's worth 2 minutes a day to walk in power? I think it is. 2 minutes today. 2 minutes today to be filled with the fullness of God. 2 minutes today to find the fountain of youth. 2 minutes today to find the chalice that they were looking for and rid it of the last ox so they could drink out of it and not die. 2 minutes today. See, God wishes sometimes that we were wise as the children of the world. That we would take the promises of God with ardent zeal and intense effort. That's Matthew 11, verse 12 in the Amplified. You get the promises of God through ardent zeal and intense effort. Ardent zeal and intense effort is called work. Not just work, but intense work. Significant work. Strenuous work. God says all the promises of the kingdom of heaven are available to you through ardent zeal and intense effort. Yes, they came by grace. You didn't have to do a thing to earn them. They all belong to you. Your problem is not getting God to give them to you. God has already given them to you. Your problem is getting the devil out of your life, cleansing your life of the devil and all the blockages that are preventing your spacecraft from launching. Ardent zeal and intense effort. It's filling your spacecraft with love. Filling the spacecraft of faith with love. Pulling off all the things that are holding it down. You ever notice on TV when the rocket is going up, there's a long scaffolding, which is a tall ladder, if you will, next to it, platform. And it falls away as the spacecraft is going up. Well, ardent zeal and intense effort is required to pull away all the strongholds of the enemy. All the scaffolding that's trying to hold your rocket back goes away with ardent zeal and intense effort. And we're saying 2 minutes today. Does that sound like ardent zeal and intense effort? 2 minutes today? That's for you to decide. But I'll give you an example. Saw this on TV in the last couple of weeks. Woman who's 77 years old. 77 years old. Last year, she got the award for last year of the world's best weight lifter. 77 years old. World's best weight lifter. Was so good, they showed it on TV 2 nights in a row. Try to record it. Maybe it's on YouTube, okay? I got just a piece of it. She can press twice her body weight. For starters, she looks like you don't want her to hit you. Okay? Not bulky, just looks, you know, fit, muscles, but not the big bulky muscles, the Bruce Lee kind of muscles. Then she's doing a demonstration with push-ups. And this girl is working with her, and she's doing push-ups. After a while, a younger girl who's an athlete stopped. She kept going for a long time. I don't know how many she did. Then, when they said it's wonderful, she says, okay. And then she goes back down. And she started doing the push-up with her hands under her chest. Before it was like this, then under her chest, which is much harder. Said, I couldn't do a fraction of what she did like this. I couldn't do any like this. And after a while, she went to one hand and doing push-up to one hand. Okay? And then she did something else which was even more bizarre than one hand, but I can't recall exactly what it is. Okay? I mean, she went through this thing with push-ups, and I just shook my head. This woman is way, way better than I am as an athlete, okay? 77 years old. No, I don't think she got there with 2 minutes today. Am I right? Okay. Finally, abide in him. John 15, verse 7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done for you. What a wonderful promise. If you live in him and his words live in you, you can ask anything you will. It shall be done for you. That's power. Okay? 1 John 4, verse 16. 1 John 4, 16. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he that dwells in love dwells in God. And God in him. So it says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, how do you abide in God? By dwelling in love. If you dwell in love, you're dwelling in God. If you dwell in God and his word abides in you, in your heart, then you can ask whatever you will. If you dwell in me and my words abide in you, if faith is in your heart and love is in your heart, which is accomplished by walking in love, loving your neighbor, then you can ask whatever you will and shall be done for you. 1 John 4:17. 1 John 4:17. Herein is our love made perfect. You notice the last two scriptures? They're actually in a row, right? What I just read is, if you walk in love, you dwell in God and God dwells in you. That's verse 16. Verse 17, herein is our love made perfect. How is your love made perfect? by walking in love so that God dwells in you and you dwell in God. And herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so are we in this world. As He is, so are we in this world. When Christ dwells fully in your heart, when your heart is nothing but the engrafted word, the word of faith and the word of love in your heart, it releases God's power throughout your entire being. The life of God floods every cell, every organ, every system in your body. You're filled with the fullness of God. And as He is, so are you in this world. Because whatever you say will come to pass, because God has declared it. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.